We're going to burn our mortgage. And that's going to be fun. We're going to debut our new band. That's going to be fun. And we're going to eat. And it'll really be a great day. And what we're going to do is that's going to be our summer festive day. And we're setting it aside. And you should come to church dressed down. You should come dressed for a picnic. Because we're going to have fun. If you want to play volleyball or I don't know what else Billy and Heather have cooked up for us to do. But from noon to 3 o'clock, we're going to play together, sing together. We're going to eat together. And we're going to do all those things that I just talked about. That's July when? The 7th. Are you coming?
Yes.
Are you staying?
Yes.
Oh, good. I plan on that. Now, make sure you do it because we'll be talking about it from now until July the 7th. It's going to be a really wonderful day of fellowship for us. And that's important because today I want to talk about fellowship. Now, another thing I wanted to bring up today is that tonight we're going to start a class. And if you'd like to have a night ministry, if you'd like to be here to study the Bible, I'm going to be talking tonight and teaching on true spirituality. What does that mean? And I'm going to be using Francis Schaeffer's book, True Spirituality. If you don't have the book, I think Rena has some extras. She's going to bring them with her tonight. And if you'd like to have one, or you can just download it from the internet and get an e-book and follow it that way. But if you'd like to come tonight, I'd love to have you. That would be great. 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock tonight. Now, I'd like for you to turn to the passage that we're going to examine this morning, and that is Acts chapter 2. And if you would stand, I would appreciate it if you would read with me from the text that you have. So in honor of the Word of God, we're going to stand and read together. Here we go. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And God's people said,
"Amen."
There you go. Thank you. You may be seated. In a world of rush and crush, have you ever wondered what a normal family would be like? Well, if you're like me, you probably wonder what a normal family would be like. In our house right now, we have 5 extra people living with us due to a utility company accident. And as a result, my son and his family have moved into our house. And we need prayer. And when I say We need prayer. They need prayer. And now they're living with us. Their house is damaged so badly that the house may be condemned. So they may be with us for quite a while. And so it looks like it's going to be sometime, at least deep into the summer, until they can get a place of their own again. Now, I personally love it that they are there, but it sure is stressful for them. And you can imagine. Can you imagine not being able to go back to your house and not have your things and not be able to do what you normally do and talk like you normally talk, and you have to be at your best behavior all the time? It's like when I teach school, people say, oh, it's so hard for you to teach school. I say, no, it's hard for those kids whom I teach. But do pray for us. At the Jones house, I call our place Rambling House. At Rambling House, we are having close fellowship right now, which is the topic of what I want to present from the Lord to you this morning. Because fellowship is critical to a church. Fellowship is so important to a church family. The church was made for worship, as we examined last week. And the church is also designed for fellowship. And the church is the family of God, and He has designed our forever family to be a place where we share together. Did you notice that in the passage we read? They shared together. That's what the word fellowship means, to share together. So we share one another's joys, and we share one another's burdens. We share one another's space, and we share responsibility, and we share opportunities. We share our expressions of worship, and I appreciate that when you sing lustily to the Lord, the Lord does not like it when we sing half-heartedly. So thank you for singing your best. And the Lord has us to share our burdens and our benefits together. And that's what family life in a church is about. Well, this idea of sharing is very central to the passage in Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to demonstrate that this morning, at least attempt to show you why this is important to God. First of all, I want you to come to appreciate that Acts chapter 2 is an extremely unique snapshot of the church. It is a picture of a local church, and it's a picture of a local church that was quite large. If you go back and read the previous passage, you'll know that the church had just been born. It was the church in Jerusalem, and it was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And these people gathered together in the name of Jesus, and amazing, miraculous things happened. A mighty rushing wind rushed in through them like the tornadoes in Missouri this weekend and various places. It was a loud rushing sound, and that was very unusual. Well, God was speaking, and God was saying, I'm getting ready to do something amazing, so pay attention. And so this loud wind came through. And not only did a loud wind come through, but each person had something like a light come right upon their head, like a burning candle, something like that. And you can read the passage to see the explanation of it. But in the passage we read, especially in verses 42 through 47, God shows us a snapshot of a virgin local church. Of a local church that is very unusual in church history. It's very unusual because it is a church that is a prototype of what the church ought to act like. Prototype. And if you want to know what a normal church is, then just read this passage, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It is the time before Ananias and Sapphira brought fraud upon the church. In just a few paragraphs that are coming after this, a husband and wife, they came in and they lied to the congregation because of their pride, and they said, "Wow, you'll be proud of us. We sold land and we brought it and gave it all to the church." And they were confronted because it became obvious that they were lying and full of pride and committed fraud. Well, if you back up to verse 42 through 47, where we are today, you see this is before sin came into the church. It's before the time that false teachers invaded the church. It's before the time when people had great disagreements among themselves in the church. In other words, it was a pure local church that had just been born. And because of this, it's very important for us to consider. Now, I want you to look at the wonderful features of fellowship that you see in this passage. And I'm going to list some of them for you. For one thing, they each had received the indwelling Holy Spirit. And signs of flames had come upon them, and they shared in the Holy Spirit and He in them. Up until this time, the Holy Spirit did not enter into people, indwell them permanently. This is a brand new thing that's happening. They shared in the promise of the Messiah. Jesus had just come, and He had just been resurrected from the dead. Not only that, they shared in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because when you're saved in the New Testament age, a time when we are living right now, this was the very beginning of that age, and the Holy Spirit actually baptized people into the church. Now, when you get saved, you're justified, born again is what Jesus called it. When you are born again, you are instantly, though you may not be aware of it, you are instantly baptized by the Holy Spirit into the big church of Jesus Christ of this age. Not only that, they shared in astonishing growth. Instantly, they had 3,000 members. Many people had been following Jesus, and when all these things happened and they gathered in this one place where there were 3,000 of them there, and they all wanted to be members of this new organism called the church. They shared in the teaching of the apostles' doctrine, as it says in the passage you just read. What is the apostles' doctrine? Well, that developed into the New Testament. You have a New Testament now, and that's what it's talking about. That's the apostles' doctrine. And they shared in the breaking of bread when they met together. The early church, every time they met, they had a potluck. And they brought their food, and they shared their food together. And every time they met, they also remembered the Lord's death. And they had a little funeral or memorial service about Jesus every time they came. And not only that, they shared their possessions and their money to sustain the work of the ministry and care for the poor. So these are amazing things happening in just those few verses that we read this morning. Now all this was occurring in this virgin new church, the Lord's prototype of a church, before the fraud came, before the disagreements came, before church fights came, before false teachers infiltrated the church. What I'm interested in this morning is to look back on that passage to say, well, let's look at the prototype to see what we ought to be. Now, I'm not interested in looking at the Baptists to see what Baptists do. I'm not interested in looking at the Catholics to see what the Catholics do. Some of you have Catholic background. I'm not looking at the United Baptists to see what they do. I'm looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, because that's the prototype, that's the model that the Holy Spirit is holding up of what we ought to be. And what they are saying is that fellowship is central to this. Because fellowship, the word koinonia, the word fellowship is about relationships. We experience fellowship every time we share together. Now, fellowship can be very shallow. In other words, people can only have a relationship where they just know each other's name and shake each other's hands once a week. And, well, that's pretty shallow fellowship. But in time, as time goes along, we learn to bear one another's burdens because we learn how one another hurt, how people lose their jobs, have to have surgery, suffer cancer, and have children that go wayward, and all kinds of problems. And our fellowship deepens if we exercise love in the midst of that. We experience fellowship when we share, because that's the definition of fellowship. Fellowship means that we share together. And we experience fellowship when we practice connections. And we experience fellowship when we share the wonder of God working among us. It's really important for you to stand up in the congregation of the Assembly of the Saints and talk about, though it can be brief, talk about what God is doing and how great God is. And we can do this together, because that's part of the reason that we assemble together, is to share our God life together, what He's doing among us. Now, all this is very important to God, obviously. And it's so important to God that He has issued certain commands called the one another commands in the Scriptures. And you know, it's quite astounding to know, and anytime you see God repeat something over and over again, well, you can be sure He really wants you to get it. 58 times in the New Testament, it says to do things with one another. 58 times. Of those 58, 19 different injunctions are presented. For instance, the Scripture says that we ought to love one another, pray for one another, submit to one another, and learn from one another. There are 19 of those different injunctions or commands given to us that we ought to practice. Well, this is how you practice fellowship. We are connected with one another like sequoia trees. I don't know if you know about sequoia trees. There was a time in my life that I studied trees a lot, and I taught other people about trees, especially school teachers. And I'm a certified environmental educator. You probably didn't know that, did you? And I was certified in the state of North Carolina. I studied trees a lot. And I can go to the state of North Carolina, and I can go in any public school and teach because I'm certified. Isn't that interesting? They don't have certification in Ohio and West Virginia, but they do in North Carolina. And so I went there, and I was trained because of what I was doing in training teachers. What I found out about sequoia trees is sequoia trees are extremely tall. How many of you have seen sequoia trees in California? Yeah, a few of you have. And they're extremely tall. It's amazing how tall and big around they are. They're so big that they build roads through the trunk of a tree occasionally. And you can see pictures online, as a matter of fact, of a road that actually is paved through a tree. And the tree is so big. Well, you would think, because they're so tall, that they would be vulnerable to be blown down. One of the things you learn about sequoia trees, if you study them, they never blow down. Even though they're tall, and they have lots of storms in California, big storms that come off the Pacific, they don't fall down. And the reason they don't fall down is their root system. They do not put roots down deep, but they put lots of roots down, much more than any other species of trees. And they interlock their roots in their community. Their roots, they're intertangled with the one next to them. The roots are so long that you can go 50 yards and there are still roots growing out there. And all these roots are intertwined. When the winds come, well, those roots hold it very firm. That is a beautiful picture of what Jesus intends in the church. We need to have really strong root system and overlap our experiences and our love for one another. Now, God has given a few snap pictures a few metaphors so that we would understand what he's talking about when he says that we ought to be strong in fellowship. And I'm going to offer these to you. The first picture that he gives is that the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is the one of the ways that we are very much enmeshed together. We are interdependent in our church life, in our experience. Now, Beulah will be a temple of the Holy Spirit in the future. You wonder, where is Beulah going? Well, we talked about that last week, where Beulah is going in worship, and we practiced it some. And this week, I'm talking about Beulah being strong in fellowship. That's our future. What does it mean to have fellowship? Now, most churches, if you talk to them about fellowship, they think you're talking about a potluck dinner, because that's what we have a fellowship hall, and we have food, and that's a fellowship, and that's called a fellowship. Well, let me tell you, what God was talking about when he talked about fellowship is a whole lot more than macaroni and cheese. A lot more. And so the first picture that is given to us so that we can understand what he's talking about when he talks about fellowship, he says that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. We are carefully joined together. Do you see that? We are carefully joined together. We don't just happen to be here in the same space by accident. We are carefully designed by God to be joined together. What he's saying is that Beulah is a building of God where the Spirit of God resides where you are and in us as a unit. We are the building of God. We the people. Now, some people misunderstand. This building, you know, that we have here, we're so thankful to God for it, because we were in a building where you could only put about 50 people. And God gave us this building, and we are very grateful for that. But when God talks about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit, the building of God, he's not talking about this structure. He's talking about we as a people. And we have a lot of children's activities here. And when new families come in, they're not sure how to take this, because we use this room for everything. And the kids come in here and they run up and down the church building, and they run between the seats and they chase one another, and they look at me and they're not respecting the family of God and the building of God. And so I have to teach them, no, this is not the building of God. The people are the building of God. That's what you respect. We use the building. We don't use the people. We build up the people. And so that's different. And so God wants you to know that you are being depended on to help hold up God's work. You're like a brick in thousands of bricks. And every one is important. Each one holds up another one. And each one is held up by another one. And that's why the picture of a building of God is given to explain fellowship. You are vital. Everyone is important. And as we saw in the passage, the Holy Spirit resides in us as a building of God, as the temple of God, as the people of God. We are a local image of God's church. Now, there are well over 2 billion Christians in the world, people who say they believe in Jesus. But that wasn't true when the passage was written that we read this morning. There was just one local church. But now God's church that we call the universal church is all over the earth. And we are just one manifestation of that church. But it applies to us. All churches should be what God tells churches to be. So Beulah will hold you up and you will hold Beulah up. And fellowship means that we are carefully fitted together for God's purposes. Now, I want you to see another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, notice carefully what it says on the screen. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? You see, this is exactly what I'm talking about and what he's explaining in the passage, that the people are the temple of God. So don't get upset if you see children running in this building. And I don't get upset when I see fingerprints on the walls. Matter of fact, I say, thank you, God, for fingerprints on the walls. Now, I love that. Now, I thank God for Sarah, who cleans the fingerprints on the walls. And all of us should help with that, because we're all members of one another, and we should just voluntarily jump in, because we're a family, you know. We jump in and help one another. But thank God for fingerprints everywhere. I love that. At my house, we have new fingerprints. We have big windows that face the river. Our house is on the river. Yeah. And there are fingerprints all over there. And whew, my wife goes, there's more fingerprints. Friends, we are dedicated to fellowship. That is, sharing the Church of Jesus experience together. And you will continue to be a vital part of that. You need us, and we need you. You're not incidental any more than one brick is just incidental and doesn't matter. It matters. I can't be what God wants me to be without you. And you know what? You can't be what God wants you to be without one another. We all fit together by the design of God. He designed us to be interdependent. I would not be able to do this work alone. That's not possible. We all need each other in the future. And so the scripture says we are being carefully joined. We are being carefully joined together by the Lord. It's His design. Now, the wonderful thing is that every one of you are being directed by God. You may not realize that, but you are. Everybody here has at least one spiritual gift. I don't give you that gift. I can't give you that gift. God gives you that gift, and you are to use that gift to the building up of the temple of the body of Christ. And that's very important, that you try to come to the place where you understand what God's doing in your life so that you can contribute appropriately. Now, there's a second picture about fellowship, a metaphor that he uses, and it says in the scripture that you will function not only like a building that has interconnected parts, but you also function like a human body functions. That's another picture of fellowship. Now, just as your body has many interdependent parts, your Beulah family, your Beulah body, has many parts that help one another to be healthy. God designed us to make one another healthy. And we all do different things. The hand doesn't do what the liver does, you know, and the kidney does not do what the eye does. But all those parts care about one another and support one another. And so it should be among us. I want you to notice Romans chapter 12. And it talks about this also. Romans 12 verses 4 and 5 says, just as our human bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to one another. So it's really important that we obey the Lord in how we relate to one another, how we connect with one another, to take care of our relationships together. Because this is the will and design of the Lord. And that's part of what fellowship is. Now, let me ask you personally, do you think you're going to be needing your eyes in the future? Yeah, you don't just say, well, I don't like my eyes anymore. They can leave. No, we don't have that attitude about our eyes. And we do believe that we will need our eyes in the future, and we want them. And the same is true is that we're going to be needing you. Even if you might get upset with somebody, we still need you. You know, eyes get irritated sometimes, you know. Eyes get irritated. We don't just pluck them out and throw them away. No, we take care of them. That's what we do. And your eye is going to be needing your nervous system. You have what's called an optic nerve back here behind your eye. And that nervous system is really important. And so the eye cares about the nervous system and the optic nerve. And the same way is with us in our care for one another. I ask you another redundant question. Will you be needing your hands in the future? Well, sometimes your hands get irritated. You don't just throw them away. You take care of them. We need the rest of the body, and the body needs us. And that's exactly what's being illustrated by this idea of fellowshipping with one another. We share life, and we take care of one another to make one another healthy and to make the body healthy. The hand needs connective tissue to the forearm. And all these parts support one another. Now, do you know the difference between an attender and a member in the church family? There's a difference between an attender and a member. An attender, for instance, if you see someone in the grocery store, this happens occasionally. I see somebody in the community, and they'll say, "Wow, I saw your church is really doing well. I went by your church, and there were so many cars in the parking lot. And I went by Saturday, and there were hundreds of people out at your church." And when anybody says, "your church," you know what I know? That's an attender. Because what a member says is my church or our church. There's a sense of ownership. An attender is like a glove on a hand. It's not like the hand. The hand is vital to the future of the body and is vital to the work of the body. A glove is not. You can take a glove and it's just attending for a while and you throw it away. Some people date the church. Matter of fact, they date lots of churches. They date here for a while and they'll date there for a while. And but I want to encourage you to be a member of the body. A member is committed to the rest of the body. Now there's a third picture I want to move to quickly. And that is about the importance of fellowship, our togetherness. And he uses another word picture. And that is, the scripture says that God is growing us like a vine that's producing fruit. John chapter 15, verse 5 says this. Yes, Jesus is speaking, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. And those who stay plugged into me, who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, how much can you do?" Zero. Nothing. A fruit tree or a fruit vine is useless if it doesn't produce fruit. I mean, that's the whole point. And the vine is designed by God to make produce. And Jesus does this in us, makes fruit, which matures and changes every day by his power, by staying connected to the vine. Now, what is the fruit that God's providing? You know what the fruit is? Well, you know right in the scriptures, you already know. I know you know. It's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, what else? Kindness, patience, gentleness. A whole list of fruit. And you know, you see a cluster of grapes and you... Well, you can think about that. Here's love, and here's joy, and here's peace, and here's faithfulness, and here's patience, and you can go down the list. That's what God is producing in the church. And it can only be produced by his power. We have to remain in him. We can't go off and do our own thing. We have to stay connected. That's what fellowship is. It's relationships. It's connections between people. And so that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. I've been attending classes about addiction. It's a real problem in our community. And I think you've become aware now that this greater area, metropolitan area that we live in, Huntington, Ironton, Ashland, and up the corridor, is the epicenter of opioid addiction in the United States. It's something we don't want to be first in, but we happen to be. And a matter of fact, we're the best in the world at it. We're the epicenter of it. And so I think the church has to respond to that. You know, when people are sick, when people are imprisoned, when people are broken and they're in trouble, we need to respond to that. And I've been trying to learn about it. And what I found out first, that's the most important thing I was told to find out about how to help people who are addicted and sick with addictions, is the solution is not isolation. That's not the solution. A matter of fact, that's the opposite of the solution. The solution over the long term, and it takes years actually to get an addict straight again, what delivers people ultimately is fellowship. Isn't that interesting? Connection. Having healthy relationships. Because what happens is people who get caught up, especially in drug addictions, is they separate from their family, they separate from their healthy relationships, and they attach to very unhealthy relationships, and their life becomes destroyed. And so the ultimate treatment for an addict is not just to quit the habit or to be isolated and dried out and set out again, because that doesn't work. What has to happen is that they have to be dried out and loved and reconnected and stay connected and supported and functioning and accountable. And they begin, once again, they can produce love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and so forth. But it really takes a lot of effort on our part. Well, that's fellowship. It's sharing life with them. Now, we all need Jesus, and we all need one another. And that is our future at Beulah, is the realization and the practice that we all need one another, and God has designed for us to be together. You're not here by accident. God is involved in that appointment, and God is involved in you being here. And I hope that you can be a member of us rather than merely an attender. In unhealthy churches, people occupy a seat and they go home. But in healthy churches, they practice fellowship, sharing together. Now, I'm going to hurry along to the last picture that's given to us in the scripture. We've learned so far that fellowship means that we are the temple of God, and we're interdependent in the building parts. We also learned that fellowship is like a human body, interconnected, and all the parts help the other parts to be healthy in order for it to function well. And we learned that fellowship is a productive thing that is like grapes on a vine, but we are the branches. Lastly, I would say, Beulah will, by God's grace, be a family. That's the other picture that's given in the scripture. We are called the family of God. We even sing a song about that. We're the family of God. Now, a born-again believer without a church family, you know what you call that? A born-again believer without a church family? You call that an orphan. It's an orphan, a spiritual orphan. God never designed that to happen. God never designed for someone to become born again and not be attached to a church family. God designed that we would function like a good family, a healthy family. I think we would all agree that babies need a family. You agree? Babies need a family. And we can't grow alone. You can't grow alone, and I don't grow alone. It's going to be interesting when we get to glory someday and God demonstrates to me all the people who fed into my life. There have been so many, I cannot even name them all. I can't even think of all of them. There have been so many people. But we need to realize that people cannot grow alone. All the members are a family. We work together as a family to love that new baby and help it to grow. Some of us are older and we're experienced and we should be helping the babies. We should be helping one another. We should be helping the teenagers in the faith. Now, I want to propose a new church covenant. Did you know that churches, especially Baptist churches, like to do this? They have what are called church covenants. Have you ever seen one? If you haven't, you're young. Older people who have been in Baptist churches, usually you flip open the hymnal and it's pasted in the back. And it's about a whole page long of stuff that you're supposed to do. But more importantly, things you're not supposed to do. You shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And I promise I'll never do this again. And you're supposed to weep tears over it even. I mean, people are very serious about it. People say, they may make a covenant with the church when they become a member, and they say, I promise not to drink strong coffee again, or I promise not to play cards on Saturday night. How many of you have seen covenants like that? Yeah, well, it's not that uncommon. I mean, in older churches, that was very common. I want to propose a new covenant. May I? It's really simple. It's just one line. I promise to love the members in the body. It's pretty simple. It's very biblical. It's what fellowship is about. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. It's on the screen. It says, respect everyone and love the family of believers. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's going to be our future covenant. That's the whole covenant. We don't even have to write it in the back of the hymnal. We can remember it. Just love one another. Yeah, Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 is another verse I want you to see where it says, Christ is the head, and the whole body depends on Him. Because of Christ, all the parts of the body care for each other and help each other. So the body is made stronger and held together as God causes it to grow. Now, we have model fellowshippers here. Matter of fact, they are wonderful at hospitality. We have several people that are good. I was so encouraged this morning to see those greeters out front. You can't get through the door without people greeting you and being friendly to you and being interested in you. And no matter how superficial it may seem, it's important to greet one another in love. Matter of fact, I'm quoting scripture. Greet one another in love. That's one of the one another injunctions. And we have paragons of fellowship at Beulah. Matter of fact, I don't normally point people out, but Mike and Raina Allen are exceptional in fellowship. And they're the ones that recruited those people that were back there shaking hands this morning. And I appreciate that so much. And it is a special gift and it is a special experience and work to promote fellowship in the body of Christ. Many of you are here because Mike and Rena brought you here. I've heard that over the years. Oh, I came because Mike and Rena saw me in the elevator and they invited me to the church. And so they're here. And I appreciate that so much. We will worship together because that's why we were created. We saw that last week. But we will fellowship together because that's how God designed us to function. Now, my friends, we live in a day when we can be constantly connected with one another because of the amazing technology that we have today. Isn't it amazing? You can know almost anything and talk to almost anyone because of the technology that we have today. And never has the world known such ability to connect with other people. But also, never in the history of the world have people been more disconnected and dysfunctional and isolated. Have you noticed the suicide rate lately? People feel so dysfunctional and so disconnected, they're taking their own lives. And you would think with all this technology and the ability to know one another and call one another and explain to one another, and it's not working. My friends, it's not that we can't. We have the tools. But the world lacks love. and actually uses technology, connection technology, to actually stiff arm other people. You know, your phone can block people. Or you can just ignore your phone. Or you can just say, well, I'll let that go to voicemail. And then, well, I don't really want to talk to them. I'm not going to answer voicemail. You can use your phone and your wonderful technology to connect to other people, to disconnect from other people. And people practice that in churches too, which is not the design of the Lord. It's not the practice of Jesus. At Beulah, our covenant is simply to love all the members. That's our covenant. It's real simple. We agree to do that. Now, the temple of the Spirit, the body of Christ, the branch of the vine, and the family of the Father help us to turn attenders into members and consumers into contributors by love. And in that, let's make our great God famous, because that's why we're here. Let's make our great God famous. We use the word glory. We glory in God, or we glorify God. We don't know what that word means. What that word means is to give fame to God, to make Him famous in the world. And that's why we're here, because He's unique. And there's no people on the earth that are like the people of Yahweh, fueled by love. And that's what He's called us to be. And that's what He's called us to do. And so in the future, we're going to think a lot about fellowship. We're going to talk a lot about fellowship. We're going to try to practice fellowship. We don't want superficial fellowship. We want to really share our hearts with one another and grow in the Lord. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You that You love us and You've told us what to do. You've told us that You want us to worship, and You told us that You want us to fellowship. Now, may our fellowship deepen, Lord. Show us how to do that. Show us how to practice the one another's that You told us to do, and help us to love You as You love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing this little song that I think you know the words. Maybe you can read the words. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Amen. Now, before you leave today, would you thank Mike and Rena for being examples of hospitality? God bless you. You're dismissed.